Warm welcome again to our afternoon service. Our text for today is taken from Nahum chapter 3 verses 1 to 19. Nahum chapter 3 verses 1 to 19. Let us read it responsively. You may read from the screen or from your personal Bible. Nahum chapter 3 verses 1 to 19, and I shall begin. Verse 1. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will shew the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous Noah, that was situate among the rivers? That had the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away, she went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men. And all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crown are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them together. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap their hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? Let us pray. To you, O God, there is no difference. Land, sea, air, or space, you made them all. Your power to save extends everywhere. Your children may move in safety within the embrace of your everlasting arms. But you are also the God of the spiritual realm. We look to you as we continue on the narrow way. The spiritual journey is long, the way ahead unknown. But you know every step. Your eye is over all. Into your hands we commit ourselves. May your Spirit guide us each step of the way. May your Spirit teach us what you would have us to learn today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The book of Nahum has three chapters. As highlighted last week, the three chapters all have something to do with God's judgment on Nineveh. In chapter 1, the judgment is declared. In chapter 2, it is described. In chapter 3, it is defended. Chapter 3 is the focus of this study. The prophet Nahum defended the judgment of Nineveh. Roman numeral 1. The reasons for her fall. The reasons for her fall. This is in Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Nahum gave three good reasons why Nineveh deserved to be destroyed because of her own actions. The first reason Nahum gave for God's judgment on Nineveh was, letter A, the ferocity of her wars. Gee Wright, columnist for the San Francisco News Call Bulletin, wonders whether American automobile names, which used to appeal to the love of posh places like Saratoga and Newport, and status like ambassador and president, aren't appealing to the lust for blood and ferocity. While driving down the road, I saw a wildcat stalking a Mustang, he writes. The Mustang was trying to trample a cobra, which was about to strike a stingray, which was sneaking up on a barracuda, which was waiting to feed on the loser in a duel between a cutlass and a saber, while a woman driver in a positive fury hurled darts at a marauder, defying a tempest. The ferocity of American automobile names. But we have here the ferocity of Assyria's wars in Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. These verses read, "Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not, the noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses." What two words would one use to describe Nineveh's warfare? Perhaps bloodthirsty and cruel. Assyria deserved to be punished, first because of the ferocity of her wars. Nahum cried out in verse 1, "Woe to the bloody city!" It was a bloody city indeed. As the Assyrian records reveal, Assyria's victims were sometimes shut up in cages, exposed to the derision of jeering spectators, forced to carry in procession the heads of their former comrades in arms, or tied down and filleted alive. Their cities were burned. The members of their families were mutilated. Again, Nahum said in verse 3, "And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses." The second reason Nahum gave for God's judgment on Nineveh was, letter B, her evil influence on other nations. Her evil influence on other nations. This is in Nahum chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Once adolescents confided to another, "The trouble with me is I'm the sort of person my mother doesn't want me to associate with." According to the adolescent's mother, he was an evil influence on himself. Similarly, Assyria was an evil influence on the smaller nations around her. In the Miami of the French Alps, the police finally caught up with the two kidnappers of Eric Peugeot, son of France's famous automobile manufacturer. But kidnapping had been so rare in France that the crime's technique, it was reasoned, must have been hatched in America. And so it was an American crime novel called The Snatchers, translated into French, that had taught these men their whole plan and procedure. Some 200 French policemen, the French FBI, plus the International Police Force, were engaged for over a perfect crime. The crime novel, The Snatchers, had been an evil influence on the kidnappers. Similarly, Assyria was an evil influence on the smaller nations about her. In 1966, the public was horrified by the brutally sadistic slaying of 8 nurses in Chicago. The man who was charged with the crime wore a tattoo on his arm, "Born to raise hell." Since this fact was published, quite a few young men had had a similar slogan tattooed on their arms. In Hamilton, Canada, it is reported that 20 to 30 youths in their late teens have had themselves inscribed with this slogan. The slayer of the 8 nurses had been an evil influence on quite a few young men. Similarly, Assyria was an evil influence on the smaller nations about her. Nahum called Nineveh a well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, in chapter 3, verse 4. She lured nations to destruction. The heathenism and demonic influence of Nineveh exerted a perilous influence on other nations. As a German proverb says, "When a dove begins to associate with crows, its feathers remain white, but its heart goes black." In Longfellow's The Arrow and the Song, he says he shot an arrow into the air, which he lost sight of until many years later, when he found it in the heart of an oak. He also wrote a song, similarly much later, found it in the heart of a friend. This seems to teach the significance of our influence. Everything we do or say, as the case may be, we cannot expect our activities to be neutral. Such was the influence of Nineveh. What response would Nineveh's neighbors have after Nineveh fell? According to verse 7, they would flee from Nineveh and wonder who would actually mourn the fallen city. The third reason Nahum gave for God's judgment on Nineveh was that, let us see, she was no better than Noamon. She was no better than Noamon. This is in Nahum chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Nahum gave a third reason why Nineveh deserved to be destroyed. He asked a rhetorical question in chapter 3, verse 8. "Art thou better than populace No?" No, or Noamon, was a great city of ancient Egypt. The Egyptians called it Thebes, Thebes has been described as the most magnificent city of any ancient civilization anywhere in the world. Thebes had a strategic location since it was built on the banks of the Nile. It had many canals, which provided a barrier against enemy invasion. It also had alliances with neighboring nations. Though Thebes was a strongly fortified and greatly esteemed city, Assyria victoriously reduced it to rubble. The Assyrians carried its people away captive and ruthlessly massacred the children. Since Nineveh was no better than Noamon, she also could expect to fall. By the way, does a person need to be as bad as Nineveh to deserve God's judgment? No. Everyone is born deserving of God's judgment. What sins people commit may affect the degree of judgment, but no one can claim he will escape God's judgment by being not as bad as someone else. What then could we say about all people in relation to God's judgment? Everyone stands guilty before God. Everyone deserves God's punishing judgment. No one is good enough to escape God's judgment on sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Not only do we have the reasons for Nineveh's fall, we have Roman numeral 2, the ease of her fall. The ease of her fall. This is in Nahum chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. Nahum went on to describe the ease with which Nineveh would fall. He used three word pictures to describe how easily Nineveh would fall. What are these three word pictures? Nineveh would be like a drunk, a ripe fig tree easily shaken and harvested, and a weak woman. Let us examine each in turn. Letter A, she would be like a drunk. She would be like a drunk. First, Nahum said, "Thou shalt be drunken." Chapter 3, verse 11. Drunks have a reputation for staggering around and falling. Nineveh would also stumble and fall as she drank from the cup of God's wrath. Having fallen, she would be hidden. After Nineveh was destroyed, she lay in dust and ashes. For more than 2,000 years, Nineveh was hidden until French and English archaeologists uncovered her ruins in AD 1842. Letter B, she would be like a fig tree. She would be like a fig tree. Nahum said in chapter 3, verse 12, "All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater." Ripe figs fall from the tree with the slightest shake. So too, Assyria would fall with ease. Letter C, she would be like a woman. She would be like a woman. This is in verse 13. In the ancient world, women were regarded not to be as strong as men. They did not normally fight as soldiers. Like a woman, Nineveh would be defenseless. Now, Nahum chapter 3, verses 14 to 18 reads, "Draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee, The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. Once more, Nahum used irony as he called upon the Ninevites to prepare for the siege. Nahum stated that the sword would eat her up like the cankerworm, a form of locust. Just as locusts devoured everything in sight, so the invading armies would strip Nineveh of all her treasures. In chapter 3, verse 17, Nahum used the figure of locusts for the Assyrians instead. In the cool of the evening, the locusts would settle down on walls. But when the sun came up and warmed them the next morning, they would fly away, leaving no trace behind them. So too, the brave men of Nineveh would flee in fear. The ease of Nineveh's fall. If Nineveh fell with relative ease, what hope does anyone have of escaping God's judgment? No one can escape God's judgment without God's provision of forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood. How then should we respond to a people who stand guilty before God and deserving of his judgment? We ought to have compassion on the lost by living a good testimony before them and by sharing the message of salvation for them. Are we doing so? Are we doing so? We have the reasons for Nineveh's fall. We have the ease of a fall. We have Roman numeral 3, the rejoicing of the nations. The rejoicing of the nations. This is in Nahum chapter 3, verse 19. The prophet expressed the feelings not only of his own people, but of all the nations who had suffered at the hand of this world-oppressing tyrant. They would rejoice at her downfall because her evil had come upon them all. Nineveh has fallen, never to rise again. Her mighty warriors will never again be counted among the living until the day of their final judgment. The reasons for Nineveh's fall, the ease of a fall, and the rejoicing of the nations. Christians today seem to shy away from declaring support for divine retribution. To be sure, Romans chapter 12 reminds us to care for our enemies and not to seek retribution ourselves. But God will deal with his and our enemies in an unmistakable and retributive fashion. Nahum makes this abundantly clear with respect to the Syrian king and his armed forces and followers. Nineveh was given the name the Bloody City in verse 1 because she exterminated her victims. Shedding of blood is one of the worst transgressions against humanity and the law of God. Vengeance must come upon it. Thus, Nineveh was destined for destruction, notwithstanding her military and financial might. Do you see injustice around you? Do you feel you have been treated unjustly? God knows what is happening and will bring his judgment to pass. Even if God grants some of the perpetrators immunity from retribution in this life, certain judgment awaits them after this life. Won't you trust him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are God of justice. May we not offend by taking matters into our own hands. Abide with us through the days of this week. Let not the unsettled business of the past week burden us. Teach us to cast all our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. Grant us a good night's rest. Surround us with your love and strength for tomorrow. In Jesus' most precious name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Worship has ended. The service has begun. Hope to see you next week as we begin our study of a new book, the book of Habakkuk. See you then. Thank you.